Thank you for that wonderful singing. Good evening. Again, my name's Evan Brock. For those of you who don't know me, we worship over at Baldwin, so y'all come visit us sometime if y'all ever get the chance to. We don't have a night service, so can't say that, but we do go extra little bit longer on Sunday mornings than most people. So if y'all are ever out there in that area, come visit. I just want to say thank you again for this opportunity because it really means so much to me. And like I said before, it probably helps me more than it's going to help you. But today I'm going to talk about the trends of sin and how sometimes we can get caught up in those trends. And we all know what a trend is. A trend is something that is popular, something that, oh, everybody's doing that. The majority is doing that, so why can't I do it? Or why not do that? That's what a trend is. And I definitely feel like in this world we live in these days, there are plenty of trends of sin out there just waiting for us to fall prey to those. And this lesson is kind of focused toward young people, but I think we can all definitely learn something from that. And I think that it's important to always be on our guard and think about these things and make sure we're not falling in these trends. First, I'm going to talk about God trends and how these should be the trends we're in and these should be the trends we're focused on and the things we should be trying our best to get other people or to make the popular trend. And these things should be our main goal in our life. First, we must make sure that everything we're doing is to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, Do all to the glory of God. And I've been meaning to write this lesson out. It's been circulating in my brain. I just haven't done it. But when you're reading through your Bible, start mentally marking the word all. And then focus on what all is it saying? What is surrounding that word? Because you'll find that the word all is a powerful word. And the verses that contain that word are some powerful verses. So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says just that. Do all to the glory of God. I mean, that's not saying just do a little bit. It's not saying, you know, just halfway. Just try a little bit. He's saying, do all to the glory of God. And we know that that word encompasses everything that we do. Not just a little bit. Everything that we do on this earth should bring God glory. It should glorify God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And we see, again, that word. No matter what it is that you're doing, do it all to God's glory. Next, we see that it should all be done to edifying as well. And there's that word again. Let all things be done to edifying. Well, you might say, what is edifying? Well, that's why we come here. That's one of the reasons we meet together. We're edifying each other. We're building up each other. We're trying to refuel for the week ahead. That's a perfect example for Wednesday night study. We're not commanded to come on Wednesday nights. We see an example of it, but we're not commanded to come on Wednesday nights. We do it to get that refilling point. Prepare ourselves for the rest of the week. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And built up is exactly what the word edifying means. We are building each other up to be stronger Christians, to be stronger brothers and sisters. So, let all be done to the glory of God. Second to that, let all that we do be edifying. If a brother and brother or sister sees you outside of this building, is what you're doing going to be edifying to them? Is it going to build up or is it going to tear down? And if you are a brother or sister who sees someone doing something that's not built up, who is a brother or sister, please correct them by all means. Now, this takes discipline. This is not something that happens overnight. Everything we do to the glory of God, that sounds kind of hard. And yes, we're not going to do it perfectly. That needs to be our focus. Turn to 2 Timothy. That needs to be our main focus on our life. Does that mean it's going to be 100% perfect? No, not at all. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." That love sounds like the same love we talked about this morning. Spirit inside us that God gave us gives us love. And that love should cast out all of our fears, as 1 John talked about. In chapter 2 of the same book, verse 4, he talks about a soldier. And he talks about the discipline it takes for a soldier to stand at his post, to stand his guard. Listen, "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." How does that apply to us? I know some here may have served in the army and understand that a bit more, but how does that apply to just an everyday Christian who's not serving? No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. He's talking about the world around us. As Christians, as God's soldiers, we can't get ourselves wrapped up in this world. We can't get ourselves so consumed with the things of this world that we can't focus on what God is trying to tell us or give us or our job in this world as soldiers for Him. And he goes on to say, he doesn't get entangled with that, but he does everything to please his commanding officer. That's God. We should be doing everything we can to stand our post and please God. God trends. That should be the trends that we're focused on. That should be the things we're trying to spread out, we're trying to make popular in this world. That should be the things we're taking to others, saying, "Look how cool this is. Yeah, maybe the majority's not doing it, but look how cool it is. And look how happy I am, and set a good example." This takes discipline like a soldier. And I'm sure you've all seen those British soldiers who stand there day and night and don't move. You have all those funny videos of people trying to get them to move, but they never move. That should be how we are. Immovable. Soldiers for God. This kind of ties into our relationships, and it can tie into every relationship, even if it's just friends or marriage or boyfriend and girlfriend. Every kind of relationship this ties into. Now, I want everyone in this room to memorize this verse, and if you don't memorize it, at least remember where it is. And it's super easy because it's 2 Timothy 2:22. And it's super easy to remember because 2, Timothy starts with a T, 2:2. So it's pretty easy. 2:2:2, sorry. 2 Timothy 2:22. You can remember it, I promise. It's not that hard. But it says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." He's talking to the youth. He's talking to you. He's saying, don't get entangled in the world. Don't follow these trends that the world is setting. Set God trends. Help people to follow those. And hang out with people who are after the Lord with a pure heart. Does that mean you can't hang out with anybody of the world? No. We know that we can't completely separate us from the world. We're supposed to go out and save the lost. That's part of our job as soldiers of God. But our main friends, our main group of people that we spend the most time with should be people who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. Those should be the people we surround ourselves in. That's how we get closer to God. I like this one. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2. This one always stuck out to me because in all the Gospels we read about Peter and his devotion to Christ and how willing he was to just give up everything, and he was such a gung-ho out to get, you know what I mean, just cutting people's ears off and stuff. And then we see Paul confronts Peter because he's sinning. He had fallen into a sin because of the people around him. Listen to this. Galatians 2, verse 11 through 14 says, "When Cephas, that is Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray." That is huge. We know that Peter in later times even becomes an elder of the church. Can you imagine how huge this was and the outside effect that this had? Peter, an apostle of Jesus, was doing this. Paul confronted him. That's our job. Help your brothers and sisters. Do you love me? If I'm sinning, correct me. That's how you show me that you love me. And that's how I show you that I love you. That's what I have to do. If I see you sinning, I have to correct you. And vice versa, in every one of us. That is our relationship to each other. We also see that this kind of ties in with our lesson earlier. Peter was afraid. He was afraid that it might hurt his reputation, or that the Jews coming from James might persecute him or make fun of him or anything like that, you know? He was afraid that they would mock him for hanging out with Gentiles. So what? You know? So what? That's what it takes. Peter should have stood up and corrected those from the circumcision group who were coming if that was their mindset. Peter should have been strong enough to set his own God trend right here. To set it and show these people that these Gentiles are just as saved as you are. That's what he should have done. But we see that Paul had to oppose him. And it sounds kind of like it was a bad butting of heads, but I don't think that's how it was. I think Paul was opposing Peter, but I think that Peter accepted it and understood what he had done and repented. I think Peter definitely tried to stop what he was doing. But it said that the hypocrisy had gotten so far out of hand that even it had led other people away. It had brought Barnabas with Peter. So see, don't set those trends of the world that are going to pull your brothers and sisters away. Don't tear down. Everything we do must be glory to God and edifying to one another. We need to be building each other up. Bad company corrupts good character or good morals. 1 Corinthians 15. We've all probably read this verse or had it read to us by our parents at some point in time, because it's a good verse. And it makes so much sense. If you surround yourself with bad company, you're going to be bad company. There's no way around that. if I am surrounding myself with people who are full of spite and malice, what am I going to be? Who am I going to be? I need to be setting those God trends. And yes, I need to be around those people, but not to the point where it's going to corrupt me. I had to do this in my life. I had to take my friends and remove myself from them because they were this. They were just this. Do I not speak to them anymore? No. I do speak to them and I do hang out with them on occasion and I do try to talk to them about God. Has it worked yet? Not very well, but I'm working on it. I'm trying to set those God trends. Modesty. This is my next point, and this one's huge in today's society. And we all see it around us, and we all know it's there, and we probably all talk about it around the supper table or whatever you want to say. It's getting out of hand. Modesty is going downhill. That word almost doesn't even exist anymore. 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. He talks to us a little bit about modesty in a sense. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, let's start in 14. Keep remembering God's people of these things. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. There's a lot in that little verse right there. A whole lot in. We could do a whole sermon on that one verse. Do your best to present yourself approved by God or to God. Stop worrying what the world thinks. Stop caring what's going on around you. Study to show yourself approved to God and where you can handle this correctly. This is what He wants us to handle correctly. It is the Word of truth. It is God's Word. And if we're not handling correctly, we need someone to oppose us like Paul did. And if I'm not handling correctly, I hope and pray that you do correct me. Pleasing to God, not man. Back to Galatians, the first chapter of this book. Verse 10 says, now am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's a strong verse as well. Paul's saying he wouldn't even serve Christ if he was trying to please people. You realize in this time that they're living, this was not a popular thing. People had crucified Jesus because of His teachings. And Paul and the other apostles were going out and teaching the same thing because they had faith. And they believed that this was the truth. He's saying, I don't care that this isn't popular. I'm going to teach it because I'm not going to please man. I'm going to please God. And this is pleasing to God. Don't make me stumble. And this goes for everybody. Romans 14 says, verse 13 says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Take that out of the way. If you look in the mirror and you think, maybe this is immodest, change. Throw it away. that shouldn't be even a thought in our mind with our dress. And this goes, modesty goes back to even far before dress. It goes back to your attitude. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 27 says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." Jesus was taking it to the extreme. Was He being literal? Maybe. He might have very well been literal. I always hear this verse saying it's a figure of speech. Yeah, maybe. But maybe Jesus was seriously saying, do these things. If you're stumbling that bad, take it to the extreme. Go to the furthest point it takes to get yourself away from what's making you stumble. Why do you think He compares both of these things? Or why are these things put in the same right next to each other? Why did He say it like this? Looking at a woman lustfully is a man's fault. But at the same time, it's not an easy thing to just overcome. And He's saying, get away from it. Take it to the extremes. And turn it around. And at the same time, women, don't dress like that. Do your best to show yourself approved to God and not man. Jesus is just saying, take it to the extremes before you let yourself stumble. And in Romans, Paul's telling us to take that obstacle out of the way. Don't let yourself be a stumbling block to a brother or a sister. Turn over to Romans 6. Modesty is about attitude, like I said. It's about your attitude and your behavior, not your clothing. But even more than that, when you realize that you don't have to be like the world, you don't have to dress immodest or act immodest because that's what the world's doing. When you realize you can be modest, you can be a Christian, and it's awesome, that's when you realize you have true freedom from the world. You have truly opened yourself up to the glory of God. You've truly set yourself free from this world. And when that happens, you'll understand, because when you're trapped in that stage of, I have to dress like the world, I have to be in style, I have to act like the world, that's when you're repressed. That's when you're not truly free. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." We can't let ourselves fall into the trends of this world. We can't become a part of this world. We have to be transformed, not conformed, transformed from the world. And we have to show ourselves approved to God. We have to make godly trends. And we have to set those godly trends. We have to show others how awesome it actually is to have those godly trends. We have to explain why these things are what is right and not what the world is doing around us. We have to take these trends that we learn in this book and spread them out, because we can't get overcome by the world and its trends. We can't let ourselves be sucked into that. We need to prepare, pray, and present. Prepare ourselves every day to face the temptations of this world. Pray to God that He'll help you overcome the devil, deliver you from him, overcome all your temptations, and present yourself approved to God, to the world. Present yourself to the world as a Christian. And make sure that everyone in the world knows you are a Christian. Modest is goddess. And it really is. Modesty, like I said, is true freedom. It's not repression. It's not saying, oh, this is the clothes you can wear and you can't wear these clothes. This is the way you can act and you can't act like this. Once you learn about that, you will truly be set free. If anyone needs prayers or needs to confess any sin that they're living with right now, please come forward and we can do that as we sing. Or if anybody feels the need to start their journey as a Christian, to become a disciple, to devote yourself to Christ tonight, right now, and take on these God trends, come forward as we sing right now.